Will you get your Bibles and turn with me, please, to John chapter 4? In this passage, we read of a woman who bore testimony to Christ in these words, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The scripture that follows tells us that this testimony bore a great deal of fruit. In that, we read, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." It is our purpose today, with the Lord's help, to draw attention to this woman and how the Lord dealt with her, to make her become a messenger of his, to give her what she never thought when she came that day to this well she would receive. She came for water to quench her natural thirst, and she went away having received living water that satisfied a spiritual thirst. Just as to how the Lord dealt with her, we trust to show that the Lord will deal with souls today. We prayerfully desire that the listener may realize that just as the Lord dealt with this woman, he would deal with you. Your need is as hers. You may not be the character she was, but your need is the same. Last week we noticed in connection with Nicodemus, he was a religious man. He had to have his conscience searched immediately, and then he had to have his heart won. But here with this woman, the Lord, the all-wise winner of souls, the one knew her from beginning to end, inside out, so to speak. He felt the necessity of reaching her heart first, and then, her conscience being searched, she was a willing receiver of a revelation of himself. It is our desire that you might come to believe this one, not simply for my saying, but that through the reading of the word and the ministry of this message today, you will have heard him. For he speaks to you through these words of his as recorded in the Bible. We cannot emphasize enough the importance of reading the word of God and believing that the message in this book is for you today. This book is not out of date. It is that which presents Christ, who is the only remedy for the needs of man. But notice now, if you will, going back to the first part of the chapter we read to begin with, in connection with Jesus, these words, "He must needs go through Samaria." He had his eye on this woman, and he had his eye on those Samaritans. They were not Jews, but it is a picture of how his grace goes out to all men. We know that he was a Jew by birth, the Son of God, the Messiah, but he came that he might save all men, and his gospel is not limited to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles the gospel still goes out, that whosoever will may come. We see the humanity of this Blessed One in that when he comes to this place in Samaria, near Sychar, there was a well there, Jacob's well. He was wearied. As true man, he knew what weariness was. Weariness is not a symptom of sin. It is part of what goes along with humanity. Being wearied as the relentless efforts of his constantly were carried on, he felt the weariness of the way. But nevertheless, he was not unwearied in his love. And his love led him to go to this place where he knew that he would meet this woman. The sixth hour of the day was noontime, when the sun was at its highest. And here comes the woman that the Lord had gone to meet. She did not expect to meet him there. And she was surprised when he takes the initiative and says, "Give me to drink." Her surprise is shown in the words that follow. "How is it," she asks, "that thou, being a Jew, askest this drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." It's quite striking here that we don't read that she ever gave the Lord a drink from that Jacob's well. And I doubt if he ever got it from her. But I know one thing, that in the end thereof of the story, he received refreshment that the water of Jacob's well could never have given him. When the disciples came back, he told them, "I have meat to eat which thou knowest not of. My meat is to do the will of my Father which sent me, and to finish his work." Now the Lord Jesus answers her question as to dealing with a Samaritan, he being a Jew, in these words, "If thou knewest the gift of God," and notice this, "and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Well, I have no doubt that what he said here was a mystery to her, as it is evidenced by her remarks later on. But I draw attention to these few points. You'll notice, "if thou knewest the gift of God." Beloved friend, God wants to impress upon you the fact that he is a giving God, a God who delights to give, one who has given his Son. And you notice, "who it is that saith to thee, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who?" Who is this? "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." It's the Son of God here who is the gift of God. If she knew who he was, he says, "thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." He would not refuse you. The living water suggests the gift of the Spirit of God, whom the Lord Jesus gave after his return to heaven upon his ascension. 10 days after he was in the glory, the Spirit of God was given according to his promise. He said, "I will send the Comforter that he may abide in you and with you forever." The living water, being the Spirit, is likewise shown in John chapter 7, when the Lord Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his innermost being shall flow torrents of living water." And John goes on to explain, "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive." And so the Spirit of God, the divine person of the Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is the one who is the gift of God through Christ, the living water. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to God. And if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not have within you that which is satisfying, living water. The woman saith to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Her interest is aroused. She becomes inquisitive. Then she goes on to remark, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Well, the Lord, you see, is drawing her out. And he is putting before her that which arouses attention. He does not answer her question, but he does answer her need. "Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well," or a spring it really is, of water springing up unto everlasting life. This is the Lord's answer to her need. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. How true it is in regards to the water of this life. The things of earth cannot satisfy. Regardless of how much we might possess or what we may have, it cannot satisfy the longings of the heart of man. And the more we have of these things here on earth, the more we wish, the less we are satisfied. An abundance of the possessions of things here does not bring contentment. This is proven by events all around us, in the history of mankind from its beginning here on earth. Also, Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes shows how everything under the sun, though he accumulated all things, was for no profit, and was only vanity and vexation of spirit. He tried pleasure in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. He tried wine. He tried real estate. He tried building vineyards. He tried raising cattle. And then he took to getting all the gold and silver he could. And all these things put together, finally, he realized that they could not satisfy his desire. There was no profit in them. They would all come to an end. And having them only brought vexation of spirit, and only created vanity and fostered the pride of man's heart, which is his downfall. Whosoever drinketh of this water, dear friend, shall thirst again. And if you are among those who are seeking the abundance of things here, and have your attention and desires for simply earthly and temporal things, you are not satisfied and you never will be. But the Lord Jesus goes on to tell her, as he will tell you and me, that whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall thirst no more forever. The Lord Jesus is a giver of that which satisfies. It meets the need of the inward cravings of man's soul. It satisfies him completely. It is that which springs up within him. He has within himself. The Spirit of God is God's gift to those that believe on Christ, and he is the power for the realization and for the possession of those things that are eternal verities, those things that will not pass away. What he gives, first of all, is eternal life. We have life in Christ, and that life is in us when we believe on him. For he that hath the Son hath life. And then the gift of the Spirit is the power for the enjoyment of that life. And he it is who indwells the believer, and who is that divine person by whom we worship, by whom we serve, by whom we live. Life is sustained. This is what Jesus speaks of here as his gift. He says, "And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give." If Jesus wants to give, why don't you want to receive? Salvation is just as simple as that. It is receiving what Jesus will give. And receiving is believing, it's accepting. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She has a desire, she wants it. And God grant, we trust, that every listener will have a desire in his heart to have what Jesus gives, what will satisfy, what will be for eternity. But Jesus realizes that though her heart is one and she has a desire for this, yet her conscience must be reached. She must face the question of her sins. He says, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidst truly." Oh, notice the gentle way in which the Lord deals with this woman. He did not spare her. No, he came to the point, and he brought everything out. But there was no upbraiding. Oh, she knew full well what sin in her life had caused. It had not brought her happiness. She had a real thirst of soul here, and he knew it. She answers him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then proceeds to show that she finally has entered into the fact that he is speaking of spiritual things. For she begins to speak of worship. She says, Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Well, she's confused, and she's wrong. But the Lord Jesus now can instruct her in spiritual things, and he proceeds to do so. He says, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. And then he says, Ye worship, ye know not what. But we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, and it was. Salvation for Gentiles is through the Jew, through the man Christ Jesus, who was born a Jew, who is a Jew, according to the promise. And this earth is going to be blessed only through him, the King of the Jews. But the hour cometh, he goes on to say, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It's not just simply a matter of ceremony, a matter of earthly ritual, such as worshiping in the mountain of Samaria or at Jerusalem speaks of. True worship, dear friend, is in the Spirit of God and in truth. They that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is only by God's Spirit that you can be a worshiper. Only if you are born of the Spirit, as he told Nicodemus, can you be a worshiper. And a worshiper is one who has a heart that's filled. It speaks of the living water within one having received Christ by faith, the fullness of the Spirit through his gift. It is that heart overflowing in worship and in praise that makes one a worshiper. The woman says, I know that when Messiah is coming, she recognized that blessing will come through him, that he, which is called Christ, will tell us all things. And then Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. Ah, it is right at this moment that she receives a revelation of the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And it is after this that she goes with the message that we began our message with today. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Do you know this one? Well, he is revealed to you in his word. And if you have realization of a thirst in your soul, will you not drink of the living water that he longs to give you? Drinking is believing on him as your Savior.